Marriage Today presents The Worship Choice by Jimmy Evans.
Good to see you this morning. If you have your Bibles there, Joshua 24 is where I'd like for you to turn, if you would. And about 2 months ago, the Lord began to put this series on my heart. And I'll just tell you right up front, it is a serious series of messages. I have been struck by God, but also by the circumstances of our nation in the last couple of months. You know, our nation has changed dramatically in the last year. The spirit of our nation has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. It's completely different than from when I was born and from when I grew up, and I know that's true for many of you. And in this series of messages, I'm talking about the choices that we're gonna have to make as Christians in this world we're living in, because Jesus Christ and our culture are on a collision course. And every single day you see the degeneration of our society. There was a time when I was born, when I was a kid, that you just didn't see what you see today. You didn't see family members killing each other the way we do every day right now. You didn't see violence against churches and Christians. You just didn't see the spirit of rampant immorality. There's always been sin. There's always been people, you know, who are sinful. We're all imperfect. But this is a unique time in our nation where the spirit of sin is actually the prevailing spirit. If you're in rebellion against God, if you're going to live an immoral life, you've got a huge support group. But if you're going to live for God and make good decisions and stand up for what the Bible says, you will be ridiculed. Carrie Prejean, Miss California, was in the Miss USA contest recently. A believer, a devout Christian. And she was asked the question by one of the homosexual judges of that event, what she thought about gay marriage. And in the most gracious manner you could possibly answer, she said, according to my faith, in my tradition, I believe it's between one man and one woman. That's the same answer that John McCain and Barack Obama both gave in the presidential election. But she was ridiculed and vilified and publicly attacked for saying that. But that's what I believe. Unapologetically. And I don't hate gay people. I've got some people that I know very well who are homosexuals, and I pray for them and I love them. And I want no harm coming to them, but I believe their lifestyle is wrong, and I'll say it to their face. And I don't want them to be hurt or abused in any way. But I believe that God's way is the best way. And when we believe that in the day that we live in, when we live that out and when we state that, as graciously as we might state it, we have to understand that Jesus warned us, if they hate me, they'll hate you. If they call me the devil, they'll call you the same. That's what Jesus said. He warned us. But we're living in a day where we're seeing Christianity under attack, the Word of God under attack, television. Even though there are many good things on television and good people on television, we see just vileness and filth on television and the movies and on the internet, and our society literally filled with the spirit of the Antichrist that's all around us. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. And one of the things that I'm going to say in this series is so potentially controversial that I actually, for the first time ever, took part of that sermon into our elders meeting last Thursday night and submitted it to them before I said it to you, because I wanted their covering on it. And they blessed me, and I'm going to say it. And I know some of you will accept it because it's in the Bible, and other people, they'll have to gnaw on it or maybe spit it out. But I am here by directive of the Lord to speak to you, and I want to do this with grace and love, but I'm also going to say what God's put on my heart. Joshua 24, Joshua has led the children of Israel into the promised land. And here's what he says in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when the Lord gave me this series and began to give me the messages for this series. This is the first scripture that God gave me. And God told me to say to you and to His church, those that are listening or watching on the internet or whatever, to say, it's time to choose our God. Judgment is coming on this world. Judgment is coming. I believe we're living not only in the end times, I believe we're living at the end of the end times. And what that means is judgment is coming on this world and the judge is coming. And we will all be judged by what we chose. And if we don't choose, we chose something other than God. You can't sit on the fence. The fence is no longer. In this culture, you must choose. And Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land, and he said to them, it is time to serve our God and to put away the gods that were on the other side of the river and back in Egypt. It is time to serve our God. And he said to them, if it seems evil to you to serve God, then choose today who you're going to serve. Go back and serve the other gods or serve God. He said, but for me and my house, we're serving God. And I say to you, it's time to choose what God that we're going to serve. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, I wish you were hot or cold. I wish you were passionate for me or passionately against me. But because you're lukewarm and won't decide, lukewarm comes from mixing cold and hot. It's a mixture of the fear of man, the fear of God, scripture, and secular humanism. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's what Jesus said. And I'm saying to us, it's time to get right with God or to choose another God. Find one better than God or serve Him. Another scripture that I want to read is Philippians chapter 2. It says, therefore, because He stooped so low. This is the Amplified version, by the way, talking about Jesus. God has highly exalted Him and freely bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. That in and at the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says that Jesus, in Jesus alone, has been given the name that is above Muhammad, that is above Allah, that is above Hare Krishna, that is above Reverend Sung Young Moon, that is above David Koresh, that is above Joseph Smith. It is above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. Every human being that's ever been created will bow at that knee. Some will do it voluntarily for the 100th time because they've been living their whole lives in worship of Jesus, in service to Jesus. But some will do it for the first time on their way to hell. And it says, everyone in heaven, everyone on earth, and everyone under the earth, that's hell. And there will be a day that is coming that every soul that has ever lived, those in heaven, those on the earth, at the time that Jesus comes, and every person that went to hell, everyone in hell will be retrieved up to the throne of God, and they will bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, every person who's ever lived an evil life will come and bow their knee to Jesus Christ. And we've been warned, we've been told that at that name and at that name alone, we are to bow. In the next several weeks, I'm going to talk about choices that we're to make, especially difficult choices in the world that we're living in, but especially important choices in light of this culture war and spirit war that's going on around us, trying to bring some clarity. The number one choice I want to talk about today is the worship choice. I want to talk about who we worship and what we worship. The word worship means to bow down. In the Hebrew language, it's the word shakah, the primary word for worship. It means to bow in reverence. And in the Greek language, it's the word proskuneo. Both words mean to prostrate oneself or to bow in worship. And I want to talk about four truths about worship to help us understand this issue. Number one truth about worship is only God deserves our worship. Anyone agree with that? Number one commandment in the Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. And so God begins the Ten Commandments by saying, I am God, there is no other. The second of the Ten Commandments is, you cannot have graven images or bow down and worship to them. Luke chapter 4 is an interesting scripture. This is going to begin in verse 5. It says, then the devil, taking Jesus up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now, this is a pretty unbelievable text of Scripture. Satan is a created being, and Jesus created him. John chapter 1 says, everything that was created through Jesus Christ. Satan is so arrogant and so deceived that as a created being, he came to his creator and said, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Well, this is a very telling scripture because it says several things. One is Satan's power. He is finite in his power, but it says Satan took Jesus upon a high mountain. It doesn't say Jesus went on his own power. It says Satan took him. And then it says Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant of time. Satan showed him. Somehow Satan had the ability not only to translate Jesus up on this high mountain, but somehow to panoramically give him a view of all the kingdoms of the world. Remember, Jesus was flesh and blood. He limited himself on this earth to humanity, though he was deity. And then he said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory, because it's been given to me, and it had. Adam and Eve were given dominion over the world, and when Adam and Eve sinned, their authority went to Satan, and Satan had that authority. And Jesus came to live a sinless life, to pay for our sins, and to get that authority back. But the third thing that we see here is Satan's strategy of how he deceives people. Let me say this, Jesus was going to die on the cross, and he knew it. He constantly told the disciples that he was going to die and be raised the third day. He knew what his destiny was. He knew why God had called him to this earth. And he knew that he would die the worst death that any person had ever died. But in spite of that, Satan comes to him and says, I'll make you a deal. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to endure all of the pain on the way to the cross or at the cross or take the sins of this world. I'll give you what you're looking for. What you're looking for is authority over the world and the glory of the world returned to you. I'll give it to you for free. All you have to do is bow the knee to me. And Jesus quotes a scripture back to him and said, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Let me tell you, if Jesus hadn't taken that stand, we wouldn't have a Savior today. Did you know that? Let me say another thing. Satan is a liar. He's never kept a deal in his life. And Jesus knew that. The devil comes to all of us the same way. The devil knows your destiny. He knows the calling that's on your life. He knows that God has a special purpose for you. And in order for you to live the purpose that God has for you, it might mean some persecution. It might mean that you pay a price and that you take up your cross and follow Jesus. So the devil's always offering all of us a shortcut, but I've got some news for you. It's not a shortcut, it's a dark alley. He's a liar and the father of lies, and he's never kept a deal in his entire life. And he said to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. He also told Adam and Eve that if they ate the fruit of the tree, they wouldn't die and it would be okay. That one didn't work out. Let me just say this. He's lied to you. You know he's lied to you. And he's lying to some of you right now in your life, telling you that you can take an alternate route to glory. That you can get what you're looking for from someplace other than God's will for your life. Let me just say something, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't learned this truth, let me pop the bubble this morning. There's no such thing as a pain-free life. The only question is, who are you suffering for? God or the devil? There's also no such thing as a free life. You're either serving God or the devil. And when Jesus sets us free, he doesn't set us free from him. He sets us free to him. And he's our master. And he's our Lord. You're going to suffer. You're going to serve somebody. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus said to Satan, I will not bow down and worship you, and quotes the scripture. But let me read you the full scripture of what Jesus was quoting there. It's Deuteronomy 6. Here's what Jesus was quoting. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around. For the Lord your God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. And jealousy means intolerant or rivalry. And you say to yourself, why is God a jealous God? It's because he loves us. There is a sick jealousy that is motivated out of unhealth, but God's not unhealthy. But jealousy, the right kind of jealousy, is motivated by love. God deserves our worship. God has done for us what no one else has done for us. And so he deserves our worship. Karen and I just celebrated our 36th anniversary. And I'll say this. Well, thank you. I finally got her trained, and you can just praise the Lord for that. If you believe that, I've got some books out there you can buy. But anyway, she's wonderful, and we have a great marriage. But I'll tell you this. I say this in seminars, you know. I will not compare my wife to any woman who has not paid the price to bear my children. Karen has earned a place in my life that no woman could ever earn. And after 36 years of being together, and her loving me and doing for me what she's done, not by looks, not by attraction, not by any standard could any woman ever deserve what Karen Evans deserves in my life. And if she saw me smooching around on somebody else, she would be jealous and I would be dead. And when God sees us flirting after other gods and going after other gods, Jesus said he's a jealous God. That's what he said. And you say, well, why is God worthy of our worship? Two reasons. Number one is he created us. Psalm 95, come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. If you can find anybody else that created you, worship them. Devil didn't create me. And the reason that we honor our mothers and fathers, if for no other reason, is because we wouldn't be here to gripe about them if it wasn't for them. Our mothers and fathers, we need to be thankful that they chose to have children, brought us into the world. Number two reason that we worship God alone is because he saved us. No one else saved us. Revelation chapter 5. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have been redeemed to us by God, or redeemed us to God by your own blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Let me just tell you something. Jesus has bought the right to my worship by his blood, and no one else has. Money, people, power, influence, fame, nothing else has ever done what Jesus has done for you. And for that reason, no one else is worthy of our worship. God alone is worthy of our worship. But here's the second truth about worship. Satan is jealous of God and wants to be worshiped instead of God, or at least to keep God from being worshiped. And we already saw in Luke chapter 4 where he asked Jesus, his creator, to bow down and worship him. Unbelievable scripture. But here's where it came from. This is Isaiah 14, a record of Satan's beginning in heaven. His name was Lucifer. According to Ezekiel 28, he was the worship leader in heaven. Isaiah 14, 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. When you see what's happening in the world right now, you need to understand the Antichrist is coming, and he will be the devil incarnate, and he will demand that the entire world worship him. The devil is on a mission to take worship from God and bring it to himself. And when you see everything that's going on in the world right now, that's where it's headed. And the scriptures prove it. Truth number three, because Satan hasn't earned our worship, he has to steal it through corrupt means. He hasn't earned our worship, for sure. So here's how he gets it. Number one is through deception. 2 Corinthians 11. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. If Satan appeared to us the way he really is, none of us would give in to him. See, that's why he doesn't deserve worship. He has to lie to get it. He has to deceive people to ever get worship, because if you saw how grotesque he is and how evil he is, you would never follow him. So he has to disguise himself as a serpent or as an angel or something other than what he is. 2 Thessalonians is talking about the Antichrist, Satan incarnate. Verse 8, then the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes, he'll deceive the whole world into believing him. You say, well, is that happening today? Well, I'll give you one example. I was flying on an airplane. I fly on airplanes a lot. And I was flying on airplanes. You know, when you fly on airplanes, people are reading books. And so several years ago, I noticed that everybody's reading this book, The Da Vinci Code. And I don't read a lot of fiction myself. And so I just noticed that people reading it, I didn't know what it was about. And then there was the movie that came out. The Da Vinci Code is based on the premise that Jesus did not die on the cross, but swooned, almost died, and lived, and married Mary Magdalene, and had children. A movie was made out of it. It's been thoroughly debunked. I watched an episode of 60 Minutes, where they proved categorically that every premise of the movie is false, and the book. But in spite of that, millions of people in North America and around the world believe that Jesus did not die on the cross, that he did marry Mary Magdalene, and that they're his descendants. And that's just one book and one movie that's happened in the last several years. Besides all the false prophets, besides all the false religions, besides the rise in witchcraft, Satanism, and occultism, and all of that, deception has flooded the world. And that's exactly what it says will happen in the end times. And it says the reason that it happened, because they didn't receive the love of the truth. Revelation 13, this is the false prophet. This is the companion, the sidekick of the Antichrist. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who is wounded by the sword and lip. Jesus, when he was asked by the disciples in Matthew 24, what would be the sign of the end times, the first thing Jesus said is, don't be deceived, because he knew that deception would be rampant on the world. Let me say this, the number one way not to be deceived is to believe this right here. The devil can't defeat you till he disarms you. He can't get you in darkness till he takes away the light. And this is the lamp of our feet, the light of our path. This is the sword of the Spirit. And we see in the world that we live in today an assault against the Word of God and scriptural authority. He has to do that before he deceives the whole world. I don't want to worship a liar. I don't want to worship someone who has to disguise himself to get me to follow him. I want to worship someone that shows himself as he is and people fall at his feet and worship. If you saw the devil the way he really is, you would scream and run. If you saw God the way he really is, you would fall and worship. And that's the difference. Another way that the devil gets worship is domination. And this is Revelation 13, again talking about the false prophet. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, the Antichrist, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The Antichrist will come as the ultimate bully, the ultimate tyrant. And he will set up a system on the earth where you cannot buy or sell if you do not have a mark. And I believe it's an electronic chip that's implanted in your hand or your forehead that contains your financial and health information. The technology is available today. That the Antichrist rules through financial means. But he also has this false prophet next to him declaring that he is God and setting up images where if you don't fall down and worship the image, that you're killed. Back in the book of Daniel, there were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar the king built a 90-foot tall gold image and said that when the trumpet plays, everyone fall down and worship this image. But three Hebrew children in captivity refused to bow down. And here's what they said to the king, Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And in response, he got so furious that he heated the furnace up seven times hotter because they would not worship the image of man, the fear of man. Seven times hotter and threw him in. It killed the men who threw him in, but they lived and walked around in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked over and looked down in the fire, and he didn't see three men. He saw four men because Jesus showed up. And he brought them out of the fire, and he began to worship their God. Let me tell you what happens when you take a stand for God. He will protect you, he will be with you, and he will use your courage to lead other people to your God. But if you bow the knee, the Bible says if anyone takes the mark of the beast, that he will drink of the full wrath of the winepress of Almighty God. And we are going to be given this choice. I personally believe that when the Antichrist kingdom is here, we're in heaven. I really believe that God is going to rapture his church. Those of us who have chosen him now, but for those who do not choose him now, they will go through a hellish 7-year period of time called the tribulation, where the Antichrist will rule the world and billions of people will be martyred, probably billions, maybe hundreds of millions, but there will be blood running all over the world of those who are martyred during that time. But we have the choice now to choose Jesus. Truth number four about worship is worshiping God includes every area of our lives. When we give God everything, he gives us everything. But when we hold something back, it becomes a doorway for the devil to come and traffic in our lives and to draw us away from God and to deceive us. Worshiping God means I don't just come to church on Sunday, though I do that in worship of God. I worship with my relationships. I worship with my giftings. Everywhere I go, in athletics, in relationships, in education, in occupation, in ministry, every single thing I do is my worship to God, including everything, excluding nothing. And we're living in a day when people are more and more being drawn away from God, embarrassed about the gospel and the things that the Word of God says. More and more people being deceived and bowing down to false gods. And I'm not doing this to be dramatic. I'm doing it as a statement. For Jesus only, I bow down. He created me and he saved me. And he alone is worthy of this.
This concludes session one. Please continue with the word choice, the next teaching in this series.